Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 91. This evening we'll read the first six verses responsively. I'll read verse number 1 and you'll join me on verse number 2 all the way through verse number 6. Psalms chapter 91, beginning in verse number 1, we'll read all the way through verse number 6. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 91, verse number 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what took place this morning, but Lord, this morning's presence of your Holy Spirit power will not do for this evening. Lord, tonight's a new service. Lord, there's a new set of people, there's new burdens, Lord, there's new concerns and new needs. Lord, tonight, Lord, as your man of God preaches your word, we ask that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, may the truth be simple, may the truth be clear, but Lord, may we yield ourselves to you as we listen. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. Please do something that no human could do. Lord, please speak to our hearts, encourage, strengthen us, and we'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Here in Psalm 91 is just one of the most special passages of Scripture to me personally. I think if you listen tonight, I could teach you something that will help you. Doesn't matter if you're a new Christian. Doesn't matter if you're an old Christian. Doesn't matter if you're a young Christian as far as age goes or middle age. It will be very helpful to you. Moses was probably one of the greatest men in the Bible. I've studied this book from cover to cover, including the cover, and the more I study the life of Moses, the more I find out how great a man he was. Just an amazing man, what God used Moses to do. By the way, he was not a perfect man, but he came obedient to God, and he led the Jews out of Egypt to the promised land. Can you imagine leading 3.5 to 5 million Jews without a phone, without a computer? And as all they did is whine and complain for 40 years. You think about the magnitude. That's like moving the entire city of Chicago around the wilderness for 40 years. It's astounding when you begin to think of daily food, water, the needs that they had. And yet, God used Moses to do this. Now, you have to understand that in Moses' day, they didn't have a copy of the Word of God like we have today. And the Bible would be spoken by God himself to people. God literally would speak to people audibly. Say, well, I heard from God. Yes, you did. Right there it is. It's all written down. God doesn't speak that way anymore because we have the written word of God. He doesn't need to speak anymore because we have all the words necessary by which to live. Now, we did not read this passage. You could mark it down and read it later. But in Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 through 23, Moses is in the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory of God comes down and God speaks to Moses, the Bible says, as a man speaketh to a friend face to face. Now, he could not see God because of the cloud that was there, but he knew God's presence and he spoke to God face to face. Moses was told that he was going to lead the people through the certain direction and through the promised land. And Moses said, God, I want proof. Now, maybe that makes little sense to you, but if I had to lead that many Jews, I'd want a little bit of proof too. Not 100 proof, but I'd like something pretty strong, all right? Now, God said, Moses tells God, some of you just caught that, right? We're in West Virginia, folks, all right? Be still and know I am God is the state verse, you know? But anyway, but he said, look, he said, God, I want proof that you're going to have your presence go with us the entire way. He said, God, I want to see you. Moses did not realize what he asked, and he said, look, God, show yourself to me and prove to me that your presence is going with us, or I ain't going. God said, Moses, if you saw my face, you would die. He said, my holiness is so great, you would die. But I tell you what, he said, I'm going to take you up into this mountain, and there's a cleft of a rock there. I'll put you in there, and I'll put my hand over you and pass by. And after I pass by, I'll let you see the backside of me after I have passed by. God didn't want Moses to die. He wanted Moses to lead the Jews. Moses did go up. God took Moses and hid Moses in a rock and put his hand over him and passed by. And as he did, he would move his hand. And Moses actually saw the train or the back portion of God himself. Moses is the only human in the Bible to ever to get to see that part of God at all. He was pretty close to God. God is so holy that we sinful humans would die if we ever looked at him. But Moses got to see the back of God. Listen to this statement. God had to hide Moses for Moses to get a closer look at him. He had to be hidden in the cleft of the rock. He had to have his hand over him to protect him. We read in Psalm 91, verse number 1, he that dwelleth in the, watch this, secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, God will give special time, special attention, and special blessings to those who dwell in his secret place. Can you imagine what Moses saw? Can you imagine being the one that got to see God like he did? Well, I can tell you this. God tells us if we'll dwell in the secret place, we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me ask you, wouldn't you like to be in that secret place with God? Wouldn't you want all the blessings and the benefits that go with being in the presence of God himself? You see, will you be like most of the Jews who said, oh, it's okay, Moses, we're afraid of God. You go meet with him and you come back and tell us what he said. We're afraid of him and we don't want to pay the price to be close to him. I don't know about you, but I'd like our church, not just me, to find out what that secret place of God is all about. I'd like each and every individual in our church to dwell in the secret place where God is. I want you to know how wonderful, how sweet, how holy, how special that secret place is for yourself. Number one, this will not be a long sermon, but we're going to use some scripture in a little while. The secret place has to be found alone. The secret place will be found alone. Notice Moses was by himself. If you went to Exodus 33, you find out Moses didn't go up with anybody. It was just he and God. You don't get close to God in public. I love church. Church is important, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But you don't get close to God at church. You get close to God one-on-one. If the only spirituality you have is here at church, you're not very close to God. This is not done in family devotions. I'm for family devotions. I'm for the family reading the Bible together. I'm for the family praying together. But if that is the only thing that you teach your children is that they ought to have family devotions, you're cheating them, because it's when they're by themselves that they'll learn to walk with God. My children tell you this. When they were growing up, we did read the Bible. We did pray. But I taught them to spend time alone with God. They needed to learn to walk with God when mom and dad weren't there. They needed to learn to be them and God. That's where they found the secret place of God in their life. I hate to say this. As much as I love my wife, you don't get close to God because you pray together with your wife or read your Bible together with your husband and wife, or as a husband and wife. You get close to God one-on-one. Moses' wife did not go with him. His children did not go with him. It was God and Moses alone. May I say this? You will get close to God one-on-one with God. One-on-one. Oh, I'm not saying that we should not go to church. I'm not saying we should not pray with our family. Not saying we shouldn't read the Bible with our families. But may I say this, that's not where you'll get close to God. You get close to God when it's just you and Him. Alone in the cleft of the rock. In the secret place. You see, learn to spend time with just you and God. Can I say something? He won't hurt you. God loves you. I don't know about you. I love having my kids around. I love having my family around. I even love having my in-laws in town for a little while. I enjoy all those things, but I really enjoy life when it's just my wife and I. Say why? Because that's where it all started. We enjoy our time together. Say, what's that mean, preacher? And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. The joy we share as we gather there. None other. Huh? None other. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since it's just been you and God? How close to God do you feel? How is it when it's just you by yourself with God? Though it is found alone, it is not the only part of finding the secret place, though. You'll find the secret place alone, but it's not just alone that gets you there. Say why? Because if we leave getting close to God up to us individually, we're such sinners, we're going to screw it up. We'll mess it up. God knows it. We can't trust our own spirituality just to ourselves. By the way, that's what the devil wants you to believe. Oh, you don't need church. You can be spiritual on your own. You can go out on your boat on Sundays instead of going to church. And you can go do this and you can go do that. And you can be spiritual. You can pray and read your Bible. Yes, you can. But you won't find the secret place of God. So, number one, the secret place is found alone. Number two, God uses his man to help us find the secret place. Let me say this, and I'm not trying to lift myself up, but God uses his man to help us find the secret place. Turn to the book of Amos. It's right before the book of Andy. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, towards the back of the Old Testament there. Amos chapter 3, look at verse number 7. Amos chapter 3, verse number 7. Some of you didn't even know there was a book of Amos, did you? Amos chapter 3, verse number 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Did you get that? God reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The word prophet there we would use as the word preacher. Can I tell you? A little bit of what my job is. A lot of my job is this. I go alone and spend time with him. And I dwell in the secret place. And he and I talk about your needs. He and I talk about what you need for your life. And I go to his book and I study it. And I go to him and I ask him for what you need. And he gives me what you need. And as I study and spend time with him, I come back and I preach to you what God gave me in the secret place to give to you. That's my job. I'm spoiled. I get to walk with God. I get to spend time with Him. God reveals things in this book that are very clear to me, that because I spend more time in it than most people, and I try to spend more time with Him than most people, He'll reveal some things to me to help you. Listen to this statement. Any preacher that gets up and says, I do that, look at me, he didn't spend time with Him. Because it's not about me, it's about what you need. See, spending time in the secret place is not a badge you wear and say, look at me. Spending time in the secret place is, oh God, my people need something. Oh God, would you give me what they need? I'm sinful. I can't do it, but you could do it. Would you help me? And I read His book and the thoughts and the truths jump off the page and I say, wow. And I go back to Him and say, is this right? And we work together and I bring it to you and give you what God said. God reveals His secrets through the man of God. I promise you this, while I was down with being sick and helping my family through, God used that young man right there to feed this church just as much as He would had I preached. Can I tell you why? He spent time with God. And because he spent time in the secret place with God, God revealed truth that we needed as a church through the man of God. I am not the only man of God. Brother Stevens, your preacher is a man of God. He spends time with God. And he spends time in the secret place of God. He also spends time hunting and fishing. And that's why he and I get along so very well. Can I tell you something? As we spend time with God, He'll open up this Bible to you in ways you never thought possible. Say why? Because you spent time with Him. And He'll take His truth and give you truth that you'll say, I've read that before, but I didn't see that before. I can't tell you how many times I read my Bible. My Bibles are written in and scribbled in. I've got notes shoved everywhere. It's pretty ugly. But I promise you one thing. That's my workbook. It's not a museum piece. It's a work. That's my toolbox. That's me and God working together. You see, my job as God's man is to stay in His word and feed you truths that you need that I got while in the secret place with Him. Listen to this statement. God knew that we all need the preaching of His truth because none of us are as spiritual enough on our own as we think we are. Every once in a while, you don't like what's said. Guess what? Neither do I. And I'm usually the one barking it out. Say why? Because I'm just as sinful as you are. But it's what we need. It's not always the precious things you get in secret. There were times I spent time in secret with my dad. It wasn't all sweet and precious. Sometimes it was bend over. And you're going to get whooped. Sometimes in the secret place you say, uh-oh. This isn't going to be good. That's true. But can I tell you something? Even in those times you grow. Even in those times, and God knew that we are so sinful and we are so full of pride that we could look at ourselves and say, look at me. I spent time with God. Did you know Moses never came down and talked about it? Nobody would have ever known had God not put it in the Bible. Moses didn't stand before the Jews and say, hey, look, I just saw God. You better follow me. Oh, that's what we would do in our flesh. No. He said, God, I need to know you're going to be with us. God, I need to know your presence will go with me. God, I've got to have something for you to reveal to me to help them. Our church has been parking lot church for 2 weeks. Folks have been sick. Folks have been down. I prayed all this week knowing we were opening back up. And I said, God, I need you to show me that your hand's still on our church. We had a full parking lot. We had a pretty good crowd in here this morning. We had 22, 23, 24, 23 on the bus this morning. We had 9 visitors and 3 people get saved. We had more things happen by accident than a lot of churches have on purpose. Just in little old Martinsburg, town of 18,000 people. Look what God did. Shazam. Say, why is that? Because your preacher spent time this week saying, God, I need you. I need you to show me that your hand's still on us. We've had a rough patch for a couple weeks, and you've been with us through that, but I need you to show me that it's okay. Guess what? Everything's all right in my Father's house. Amen. Everything's all right in my Father's house. God knew how important church is. Listen to this. Because he had Jesus start it and pay for it with the same blood that gave you salvation. We have to realize Jesus paid for the church by his blood. The church is just as important as salvation is because it was the same blood. For us to think we could be spiritual and be in the secret place without being in the place God paid for with his own blood, that's pretty arrogant. We're thumbing our nose in God's face. I believe church outside the home is the most important place anybody could be. I believe that. I believe for your spirituality, church is as important as your time alone with God, because this is where you go and learn things to go back and study. This is where you get something that God's man gave you so that you can go back and say, boy, he taught me this, he taught me this, and I can take that and I can study and I can learn and I can apply, and wow, look what God is doing in my own life now. You see, it's from the tabernacle, the Old Testament church, that Moses left to go to the secret place. If you go back to Exodus 33, you find out he was in the tabernacle. He went to the secret place and then came back to the congregation at the tabernacle. That is exactly what it's all about. You get it here. You go spend time with him and you come back here and you learn more about it. So that when you go back to him, you say, I learned something this week, God. Could you help me again? Now, number 3. Let me review. Number 1, the secret place is found alone. Number 2, God uses his man to help you find the secret place. And number 3, we get to the secret place by doing good quietly. We get to the secret place, listen to this, by doing good quietly. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse number 4. Actually, look at verse number 3. But when thou doest alms, or good deeds, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be done in what?
Secret.
And thy Father, which is in, seeth thee in what?
Secret.
That means you had to be in secret to see, for God to see it. Himself shall reward thee openly. Look at verse 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in what?
Secret.
And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Look at verse number 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now here in Matthew chapter 6... you find out that alms, or good deeds, prayer, which is asking God privately, not a public show, and fasting, which is giving up food or something for a specific purpose, is to be done in secret. It's not to be done as a show. People who have to get up and tell you, well, bless God, I prayed and I fasted for 40 days for this. You pray for me while I fast for 40 days. They're wanting attention. If you're going to fast, just fast. You do it in secret, God will take care of it openly. You don't have to go around telling everybody what you're doing. I love it. I won't tell you who, what, why, when, where, how, or how long ago. I know a man that gave money for a building to be constructed on a church property. He went to the pastor and he said, I don't want anybody to know, but I'm going to give you the money to get this project done, and I just don't want anybody to know. The funny thing was, everybody in the church knew who paid for it because he told everybody. My Bible says he got his reward. He got his reward. He did it in private to the big person, but he went around to everybody and say, you know who gave that money? I did. You know who paid for that? I did. It really wasn't done in secret. It started in secret, maybe, but it didn't end there. God's not talking about if you're going to fast that you don't tell your wife and tell her that you're not going to eat for 3 days because she can't cook anymore. That's not what he's talking about. But I think when you do, you ought to say, honey, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast instead of eat for this period of time, just so you know, but let's not tell anybody. And that's how you do it. The same is true with prayer. I know people who love to get up in public and pray. Boy, they can wax eloquent, but you can tell. You know, oh, thou God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Rehoboam and Jeroboam and all the other Boam fellas. You know, they can go through all these wonderful things that sound real pretty and sound real holy, but they don't know how to get a hold of God. Knew a man that used to work at the college where I worked. He just went to heaven in the last couple of weeks. He used to love to hear Brother Phil Sally pray. He just an old Kentucky tobacco salesman. Got saved. He'd get up and say, now, dear Jesus, there's a little one that's sick. If that was my little girl, I'd want somebody to pray for her. So help us to get some sense about ourselves and pray for it like it was our baby. That's just how he prayed in front of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 people. It was like he was alone with God, just talking to God. Now, it wasn't always good grammar, but it was good praying. He didn't wax eloquent, but I promise you one thing, that man knew how to walk with God. When I had a need, I promise you one thing, I went to Phil Sally and said, would you pray about this? Yes, sir, let's pray, brother. He loved me. His term of endearment was this. If he ever called you fathead, you were on his good list. He'd walk up to me and say, hey, fathead. I say, yes, sir. He'd say, Debbie, what are you doing with him? You're too beautiful for him. I'd say, Brother Sally, shut up. You're going to ruin it for me. He loved my wife and I. But he knew how to walk with God. It wasn't real fancy. It was plain meat and taters, but can tell you something, meat and taters is pretty good. It'll sustain you. Listen to this. The secret place is not for us to say we arrived. You don't find the secret place for yourself. Moses did not go and say, God, I need to be hidden and I need to see you for me. He said, I need to know your presence is going to go with us.
That's good.
You find the secret place when you need him for somebody else. You find the secret place when somebody else needs him through you. It's not to say, I've been to the Holy of Holies. Look at me. I can promise you one thing. I've been in that Holy of Holies. But it's not been for me. Say why? I'm a sinner. I'm unclean. I'm undone. I'm as vile as any other person in this room. But I'll go there and beg God to give you what you need. I'll go there and beg him for what you need when your heart is broken, when your family is facing cataclysmic opportunities, just like I will if it were mine. I'll go to him and when you're sick and beg God for your healing like I would for my own family. When your heart is broken, I'll go to him and spend time with him for you and for our church. It's not for me. It's for you. The secret place will not be found if it's just for you. It'll be found when you do it for someone else. You'll not get to the secret place if it's only for you. You'll not find it. Listen to this statement. Spirituality is for giving to others, not for keeping in a notebook for yourself only. Spirituality is not for your edification. It's so that you can use it to help somebody else. Like I preached this morning, it is a truth that needs done to be in the light. You have to do it to get light. That is very true with spirituality. Unless it's given, it is not spiritual. So, we see that the secret place is found alone. We see that God uses his man to help you find it. Number three, we get to the secret place by doing good quietly. And number four, I love this. What does the secret place offer us? What's so special about this secret place? Look at Psalm 91 again. I'm just going to read and talk for a moment. Read and talk and read and talk. And we'll be done in just a few moments. He says in verse number one, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. First of all, the secret place, God becomes your refuge, a protected place. You live in fear, you live in violation. Can I tell you something? When you get to the secret place, God will protect you. Amen. Underneath are his everlasting arms. God literally put his hand over Moses to protect him. Can you imagine knowing the hand of God is covering you and protecting you? You can when you're in the secret place. Next, says that he's our fortress. Do you know what a fortress is? It's a safe place in battle. When the battles come, you'll have a hiding place to where you can shoot the enemy from. You're going to have a wall between you, and the bullets are going to bounce off the wall, and you're going to be able to have a chance at defeating the enemy because he's your fortress. Not only is he your refuge, but he's your fortress. A safe place in battle. Hey, we all battle the devil. We all battle ourselves. We all battle sin. We're not supposed to battle one another, but we're going to be in a battle. And God says, if you'll be in the secret place, I'll be your fortress. I'll be your refuge. Oh, I love this. I love this. I love this. He said, in him will I trust. You can trust God. I hate to tell you, I'll let you down. I'll never intend to, but I'm human. I will let you down, but God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God will never let you down. He is trustworthy because he is trust. Put your trust in him. Can I tell you how you find out how much you can trust him? When you stand before him in the secret place and you know your heartbeat from death. Moses knew that if God didn't do it exactly right, he would die. But he said, I'm going. I'll trust you, God. I'm going to take that leap of faith. Not foolishly, but I'll trust you. And can I tell you something? The more you trust him, the more you can trust him. The more you trust him, the more you can trust him. I love this. Look at verse number four. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He covers us to protect us. the story goes about a fire at a farm. The man had a chicken area there, and some of his, all of his chickens had been burnt up. He went out to see the damage, and he had seen one big old hen with her wings outstretched. She was just sitting there, burnt to a crisp. But she heard, the farmer heard a noise. He went over and he took his foot and he kind of stirred that hen and kicked it. And out from underneath came about a dozen little chicks. And that mama hen in that fire called her chicks to her and put her wings over top of those babies. And she lost her life protecting those babies. That is exactly what Psalm 91:4 says. If you abide in the secret place, he'll put his wings over you. When you need him most, when the fires come, he'll protect you. Verse number 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. You don't have to live in fear. When you live in the secret place and you know how to get a hold of God in that secret place, and you've listened to the truths of the man of God, you've begun to obey those truths, and you are doing the good things that you know to do, can I tell you something? You can live without fear. You can live without fear. I didn't say you can live without hurt. But God says you can live without fear. We're sinners. We're going to live with hurt. I live with hurt. You live with hurt. People will hurt us whether they intend to or not. But may I say something? Thou shalt not be afraid. For the terror by day, nor the arrow that flieth, or the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. The enemy may attack. You may have dreams and fears at nighttime, but may I say this, if you're in the secret place, you have nothing to fear. Nothing. Maybe that's what the psalmist meant. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Can I tell you something? The neatest part of that, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Did you know that unless you're moving, goodness and mercy can't follow you? You have to continue moving. You have to continue going forward. You have to continue going through that secret place and doing what God said for goodness and mercy to follow. You can't stop. You got to keep going. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Church, may I challenge you? Let's spend time in that book with him. Let's spend time in the secret place with him. I don't mean this for my sake, but let's listen in church and let's come to church and hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Let's be here to learn what God reveals to the man of God, no matter what man of God preaches from behind this pulpit. Brother Stevens, I was thinking about Pastor Walter. I saw you this morning and I knew how much you meant to him. Brother Rick would call me. He'd say, thank God for Brother Gary. You'll never know how much of a comfort you've been to both of your pastors there. I don't know if you were under Brother Nesbitt or not, but he'd been there forever. But I know the last two preachers for sure. You say, what is that? Oh, he's just faithful. His family's faithful. They do what God wants them to do. They've been dwelling in the secret place and God has used them. Can I tell you something? Dark days come for everybody. But when you get alone with God and you get to spend time with God, even though it might be a little fearful, it's okay. Because he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something that I personally needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens of hands. I wonder, would you come to the altar tonight and spend some time with him? Would you go home tonight and spend some time with him this week?